The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, interests, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Wow, had a heck of a time getting on here. I come, like I usually do, come sliding in here with both feet and jumped in the chair and trying to get everything straightened up. And we appreciate Concrete and letting y'all know and buying me a little bit of time. But welcome to the Shooting Bench, coming to you live and in Technicolor from Schatz Ranch in near Kingman, Arizona. It's the 18th of March, and it's a Tuesday, and things are not any better than they were yesterday as far as country goes. It's going to be up to us to get that straightened up. But there's some interesting news coming around. I think the airplane thing, they're about to get all the buy all the time out of that one that they can. But they what all has been going on while we've been concentrating on that stupid airplane. I don't know, that may be a big deal. It we'll wait and see. The whole fiasco with the airplane may be wind up being a bigger problem than what we thought it might be. But anyhow, I found out another reason that I like Glocks. Might as well just jump right out there with that right now. the back side of the slide, where it's sharp and is razor sharp on lots of guns. The Glock is not. It has been rounded off quite a bit, and not because it's custom, but just because that's the way they come out of the box. And I found out again why that's a good thing. Of course, for people that put their thumb in the wrong place when they shoot, that'll become self-evident. But I was... the guy brought a Ruger SR9 in yesterday and had a shell stuck in it. He said it was live. He said his wife was shooting it, pulled the trigger, bang, and then they couldn't get the thing open. No, I'm sorry. That's not what he said at all. He said it still had a live round in it. He thought he put a they loaded one up and pulled the trigger and nothing happened. That's what he said. Which puzzled me as to why it wouldn't come out if it didn't fire. Usually it has to fire for something to happen in there to keep it from coming out. Not always. I've seen a couple of them jam up in there with loaded rounds, but usually it's after it's fired. And I said, well, leave it with me a little bit and I'll see what I can do with it. So I took it as I do any semi-automatic pistol and grabbed the top of the slide and with my tips of my four fingers and the heel of my hand right in front of the sights, and then you hold on to it good and solid, and you take your other hand, your right hand, firing hand in my case, and slam that frame forward, and more often than not, that'll dislodge that round. Well, there's not as much tang and a whole lot sharper edge on that SR9. And it absolutely ripped and cut and gouged my hand right behind right about even with the index finger knuckle, right on that knife edge of the outside of my hand there. And so I was not impressed, but I washed it out real good, got the bleeding stopped, and got it washed out real good with real cold silver. Once I got that dried up, and I could tell the silver was working, because you'll know beyond a doubt if the silver's working, you'll have no doubt in your mind that it's working. So got that done, sewed it up with super glue, and it's hardly even tender or anything right now. I think it'll be just dandy here in a couple of days. Sound keeps cutting out. Let's see what the heck is going on here. Let me check and see if I have... That's not on, so that shouldn't hurt anything. And that one is doing one thing, and this one's doing another. So we'll get rid of that. And let's see here. Everything else should be good. I don't know why it's cutting out here. Okay, Texas Sheepdog says, well, 32 usually works a little better than the 64. Not always. But my little air card here, let me reposition it just a little bit and see if that makes a difference. That's the one thing about doing the show up here from Schatz Ranch. We are completely off the grid up here. And we're running on a generator and don't have any cell phone service. So we have to run there's no internet service. So we have to run an air card, and we have our own cell tower up here. So we have a little booster. So without power, the booster doesn't work. Booster doesn't work. There's no cell phone. If there's no cell phone, there's no show. So we have issues sometimes. Got some good news coming out of the state of Arizona. I don't know how good it's going to be yet, but it's looking pretty good. And that is five new bills have all been, I think, all passed by the Senate. Five pro-gun bills. I'm not entirely certain how useful they all are, but they all are on our side. They're all fine. I just don't know if they're wasting a lot of time on them. But one of them is, hang on here a second. One of them is, I think it's HB 2339, and that bill will be pretty good. It's what it's going to do is to allow guns to be carried in public buildings, police stations, city hall, all that stuff. If you have a concealed carry permit, and if they don't have three things that they must have, and this is any public building, state public building, the federal laws of course don't change. But they must have an armed guard, a metal detector, and a secure storage place for your weapon if you can't carry in there. So if you don't have a permit, if they have a metal detector and an armed guard, you will not be allowed to carry in a public building. The people that are against this bill are absolute freaking morons. They say, well, it's too expensive. That's going to cause people to spend too much money. Or cause offices and the state to spend too much money, cities to spend too much money. I said, no, it ain't going to cause them to spend any money unless they have a desire to. They're allowing background checked concealed carry holders to carry in public buildings. So what? The only way it's going to cost you any money is if you choose not to allow that, then you're going to have to get a metal detector and an armed guard and a storage locker. So if you'd like to not spend any money, then just forget it and don't worry about it, because it's not going to be a problem. But you know how they are. Pro-gunners are thinking that this is a wonderful thing, and I wish that we didn't even have to do it at all. But one step at a time, we'll get this out of the way, and then eventually maybe we'll just eliminate the whole thing. That seems to be how it happens in most places. Certainly in Arizona, we've had a number of different changes to concealed carry laws and stuff, ultimately ending up with what some would consider to be constitutional carry, which you know my stand on that. It is not constitutional carry if you have any restrictions at all. But let's see. Northwest Heavy, let me see. Let me take a break from our discussion here just a second. How much CL would you add to a 55-gallon food-grade barrel full of well water? I'm thinking what you're wanting to know there, Northwest Heavy, is how much CS would I put. I think you're wanting colloidal silver. would you add to a 55-gallon food grade? What I did for all of mine is I put a full quart in there. And I put it in there when the barrel was about half full, and then I went ahead and filled it up so all the turbulence in the barrel would thoroughly mix it up there. And I kept that water for, well, I think the X still has three or four of them stored. I took two of them, and at that time they had been stored for 3 years, I think, close to 3 years. And it was fine. We did five barrels that way. I have four barrels currently done that way, four more that I need to get done here, most Ricky Tick. So that's what I've done, and I think that's I calculated it out to see, you know, by both my experience and opinion on it and what it says on a couple of other sites that use that. And calculating it out, a quart for 55-gallon barrel is should be plenty. So hope that answers your question. Okay, these pro gun bills here. Let me go down through here and tell you what they are. First one we've already got there. House Bill 2338 is a preventative measure in case a criminal were to. Oh wait, that's the same one there. Now Brenda Barton is the one that introduced this. Brenda Barton is a very pro-gun, very conservative legislator we have up there, and she's saying it's a preventative measure in case a criminal were to take the gun of someone using it in self-defense. So what she's saying is somebody, if you get in one of these public offices. And long story short, if there's a bad guy in there with a gun, then she wants to have a good guy in there with a gun, is what it all boils down to. Some of the other bills that were approved here by the Senate. Let's see, 2339, that was one we talked about first. Allow gun owners to carry and concealed carry permits to carry in government buildings unless certain security measures were in place. 2338 is a preventative measure in case a criminal were to take the gun of someone using it in self-defense. 2517 would impose fines, I like this, on cities, towns, and their lawmakers who enforce gun ordinances stricter than the state's own laws. We have, like so many states, we have state preemption law here that says that, I don't know exactly how it's worded, but it's the same thing as New Mexico's, which says that no municipality or county can regulate in any manner the right to keep and bear arms. So basically there is no point whatsoever, no use in a city or county to even impose a law of any kind, because you can't do anything any more strict than what the state has, so why mess with it? They said this bill would impose a civil penalty of up to $5,000 on city and town governments that violate the statute. It would also allow the state to sue individual government officials, such as city councilors, and would prohibit them from using public funds to defend themselves in court. I like that real much. House Bill 2535. Would speed up the certification process. Now they worded this. This is completely stupid. I know what they mean, and you will too in just a minute. Let me read this first sentence to you and see how dumb it is. Would speed up the certification process for high caliber firearms for private citizens. Here's what he means. Weapons like machine guns require approval from the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. But a local law enforcement agency must first conduct a background check before an applicant can request ATF approval. Under this new bill, officers will be required to poop or get off the pot, either certify or deny the weapon within 60 days. The guy that introduced this bill says that some agencies take too long or don't process the application at all. His original bill called for a 15-day deadline to process applications at the local level, but an amendment extended that. Democrats say there's no reason to rush the approval process of such powerful weapons. Oh, get over yourself already. House Bill 2103 would lower the age requirement to get a concealed weapons permit for military members from 21 to 19. All right. Well, that's pretty good, and I think that that will very soon be, you know, statewide, be for everyone. You know. Let's see what's going on in the chat room here. You know who made 1911 water barrel is famous. What is a water barrel? Glock water barrel is famous. Don't know what a 1911 water barrel would be. But I'll wait until Casper Mountain explains that to us here. Okay. What else we got? We got various things. Oh, the little diner in South Carolina. Yeah, you like that? The little diner that... I forgot the name of it. We talked about it last night. That put up the sign that said, if you are such a loser as to have to carry a gun with you to eat, then you are a D-bag. And boy, did they catch hell. They had to take down their Facebook page. They absolutely got destroyed over this. I mean, it's killing them. And they should have never, ever said that. Now, let me give you some of my observations here on what's been going on with this stuff. You remember what happened with my sign, right? And that was... How do I want to word this? I put the sign out which was derogatory in some regard to anti-gunners, to people that voted for Obama. And I mean, I've flat out said you have proven that you're not responsible enough to own a firearm. And some people consider that to be hitting below the belt. That was, what do you mean I'm not responsible? I was in the Army. I did this and I did that. And I don't care. You also voted for Obama, which means that you are not responsible enough to be in my presence. I will not sell you a firearm because I don't trust you. And it really is just that simple. And yes, ma'am, I did say that to more than one of them. But the point is, we didn't get that kind of feedback. This was a pro-gun person, a gun dealer, telling the anti-gunners or the liberals, the Democrats, the people that voted for Obama, that they were not responsible enough to have a firearm. Did I get overwhelming response out of it? You better bet your sweet bippy I did. But 97% of it was extremely positive, way positive. You guys remember all this stuff that was going on, went on for several months. I sold more stuff and had to make more t-shirts and hats and got more cards in the mail and money, donations, flowers, flags, hats, every damn thing, cards of all kinds. So we have a person who apparently is very anti-gun put up a sign that knocked our side, and they got, as we would see it, that's right, Doc, that's an old one there. I'm just going to dug that up out of a dusty old locker. it's not, it was the opposite type of event, but we got the same type of response out of it. It was an anti-gunner saying something to the pro-gunners, and the pro-gunners, while the diner is going to see that as negative in their eyes, we see it, of course, as very positive because it was pro-gunners. And they smoked. I mean, they absolutely spanked them. Incredible. I did not see a positive, well, positive from their point of view, response and all the stuff. Of course, I didn't spend hours on end going through the 400 bazillion responses on there, but I went through quite a few of them, and I didn't see a single one that I disagreed with. And like I said, they've had nothing but heartache over this since it started. I don't know where they're at right now, but earlier today they have had to make some changes in what they've done. It's been very, very enlightening. I've enjoyed it very much. So, with all that being said, I think what I'm going to do, since I had to screech in here and I need to get a fire going and everything, so I'm going to take a nice, long, leisurely break. And you guys go and get you a nice, cold Diet Dr. Pepper. You guys know I had to lay off of that, right? After the Super Bowl, I said, sorry about that, but won't be happening anymore. It's you guys chose your path there, so I have chosen mine. And that's just the way it is. That's the truth. All right, hang on a minute. Let me move a couple of these things around a little bit. Like I said, we're going to take a nice long break here. And I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Yeah, me too.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Ago, I uttered the phrase too late as a warning that silver and gold prices would soon skyrocket, and thus they have this year. With our current financial predicament, you might want to consider someone who supplies silver American Eagles and other precious metals, a family dealer up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Just Measures Coin Shop. Call Bobby at 812-305-7091 or click on the link at my homepage at johngaultfla.com.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs, to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we the people will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
Exhausted after she had me. Two nurses to hold me and one nurse to slap me. Doctor turned to mama and he shook his head, wiped the sweat off his brow. And then he said, this boy's way off the charts as far as I can tell. Ooh, mama, he's a double XL.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. Okay, I know, I'm late. I'm always late, but maybe not too bad. Hopefully I haven't been finished for too long. Okay, let me catch my breath here. Let's move right along. I have numerous other things here have you seen what's going on in New York? We talked about maybe Connecticut being where the next revolution was going to start. And New Yorkers may beat them to it. I was impressed in hell last night. When I found that gun owners are absolutely defying the SAFE Act and burning their gun registration forms. They estimate there's been well over 1,000 of them burned so far in public. They had them out there in a little barbecue grill out there in one spot and were burning them just as fast as they could get them in the fire and get them burning there. So that was most impressive. The they call it the SAFE Act, which actually makes people less safe by limiting the amount of ammunition that one can carry. Also bans and requires registration of what they like to call military-style assault weapons. And gun owners in New York are less than pleased with this, including, believe it or not, this kind of surprised me, the New York Sheriff's Association, which told its sheriffs, thou shalt not enforce this, told them to rebel against the law. Remington is in the process of moving out of the state because of this law, which makes me extraordinarily happy because I thought I was going to have to abandon Remington and not sell them anymore, not buy any more new ones. But they have seen the light. We're waiting on Ruger now. See what they're going to do with Connecticut. Of course, Ruger may be the smartest one of the bunch of them. They may have said, okay, I know these people around here. I know what they're going to do. They're going to get this thing squared away. We're going to stay here just like nothing ever happened. And after they whoop this government back into shape and get this law repealed, we'll be making guns by the millions here while everybody else is moving around trying to get new factories running. And so that's Ruger may be smarter than all of them. I don't know. We'll wait and see. Okay, so what do we have here? This is an anniversary, huh? It was on this day in 1993. That the Bat Fags and some of the rest of them raided the Branch Davidian compound in Waco. 4 ATF agents were killed. No great loss. Since 6 Branch Davidians. 51 days we sat around and watched and cheered and thought this was a wonderful thing, only to find out that this was not the case. Lots of things have happened since then. A lot of people have woken up. And let's make sure that something like this does not happen again on our watch. You heard yesterday that there was a meeting. Where was that? It was in, I believe it was Michigan. I think it was Michigan, where 40 sheriffs got up and walked out.
Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, it was Oklahoma. That's right. That's why it surprised me so much there. Yeah, Oklahoma, 40 sheriffs got up and walked out of a meeting there because they were asked to be disarmed, or they were going to ask them to take their guns off. They, in fact, did ask them to take their gun off. And they said, no, I don't believe so. We'll just be gone. We need to go down to the local hamburger joint here, and we're just all going to meet down there and have our own meeting, and y'all can stay up here and playing your piddle. But it seems that Mayor Bloomberg's anti-gun group has fallen apart on top of all this. Out of another more news out of New York. Some of the people that were staunch supporters of this now found out that it was all about his personal agenda for taking guns away from people, not to make the people safer, as they imply. Now, they're still not on our side, but they're also not on his side because he lied and he was using this movement to push his own personal agenda. And now also there are hundreds of thousands of Connecticut gun owners that are doing similar things, defying their laws. And I am looking back, sitting back, and enjoying the hell out of this. I mean, I really like what's going on. I like what I see. Jason and I talked about this stuff at length today. Coming back from Sholo. Let's see. Let me look down through the chat room here and see what's going on. What was the answer to the amount of bleach for 55 gallons of water? I'd have to look the bleach up for you, Casper. I don't use bleach anymore. I have no after.
One cup of bleach for every 5,500 gallons.
No. A cup for 5,500 gallons? Maybe a cup for 55 gallons. Jeff is absolutely wrong about that. Let me look that up since the subject has come up here. Let's check and see what it is, because I don't think that's right. We'll find out here in just a minute. I think that is way, way, way not enough. But I'll find out for you here in just a second. Matter of fact, if I had a copy of my book laying here somewhere, I could get it out of there. Let's see. How to purify water. Emergency water purification. Let's go down here and look and see how many of these. Let's see. Clear water is a sign. Oh, as long as it's 30 minutes. 1 gallon and 1 teaspoon will disinfect 5 gallons immediately after treating. So regularly use water on large tanks. Treated once or twice a month. 1 ounce, 200 gallons. What's a cup? 8 ounces?
Mm-hmm.
And how big are those tanks?
5,000.
Okay, it was 5,000. That should be 25 ounces, so probably about four cups, at least 4 cups for 1,000 gallons. I mean, for 5,000 gallons. Long-standing water in tanks will be disinfected with 1 pint per 1,000 gallons. So that would be five pints for just standing water. 2,500 gallon tanks are fine with 3 pints, so 6 pints per 5,000 gallons. Bleach effectively kills bacteria and viruses, stops smells, and breaks down. Okay. All right, let's check another site just to make sure that we're getting the right information here, but that sounds about right here. Let's check one more. Emergency water purification calculator. How awesome is this? Liquid Clorox bleach. In an emergency, think of this 1 gallon of regular Clorox bleach as 3,800 gallons of drinking water. When the tap water stops flowing, regular Clorox bleach isn't just a laundry aid, it's a lap saver, da 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 da. Okay, here we go. Wait a minute. 8 drops, half teaspoon, water cloudy. It doesn't have the bigger. Here, look here. We have a calculator here. Okay, 5,000 gallons. Target water volume, 5,000 gallons. Desired bleach saturation. Let's see, 2 drops per quart would be 8 drops per gallon. So let's say 8 drops per gallon. Water condition, we'll call it mostly clear. calculate required bleach volume, total number of drops. Wow, this would be hard to count. 40,000 drops. 40,000 drops for 5,000 gallons. So you just count how many drops are in a cup now, and you'll have it all figured out. Okay, there you have it. All right. Let's see. Yeah, I think colloidal silver is not only safer, works better, and you don't have to worry about getting too much, too little. Well, too little maybe, but not too much. There was a lot of people that woke up to tinker because of Waco, but not nearly as many as there should have been. They actually, a lot of them, not too late, says we'll have to buy more eyedroppers. A lot of them did wake up because of Waco, but it was 6 years afterwards. It was 6 years after Waco that they realized that we were right, that the militia, the freedom movement, liberty movement, the whatever, patriot movement, whatever you want to call it, were right when they found incendiary devices up there that we told them for beyond a shadow of a doubt that have been used. And of course, the news had made everybody believe that that was not the case. And then the real news came out on national TV, lamestream media, 6 years afterwards. So yeah, it did wake people up, just not right at the time. But hopefully that will not happen again. An ounce and a half in 55 gallon, that's probably, yeah, M. Jantz got a copy of my book, pulled out half teaspoon per 5 gallons. Very good. Thank you. Let's see how that goes. Let's see. I'm looking at a site here, csgnetwork.com, says the same thing, half gallon regular Clorox per 5 gallons of water. Now, that's 5 gallons of clear water. If the water's a little cloudy or extremely cold, then you'll want to double that amount. All right, let's go find, I have many other things I need to do. We talked yesterday about, I haven't found out any more news on this. I don't know, I still haven't found out if this is true. It's been around for a while. I haven't heard anything more about it. As long as it's been around, it's probably either not true or they gave up on it. And that was the fact that Russia issued a international arrest warrant for George Soros. But I'm thinking that's probably not going to be a happening thing. All right. Let me go find another page here. Got some cotton picking many of these things open, trying to get all this done at the same time. Notice my internet is a little slower up here, too, having to do this on the air card than it is at the house. This thing works at blinding speed at home, and it works with frustrating speed here at Schatz Ranch. So give me a second here, because I got some more stories today that I wanted to share with you. I just got to get them out of here. And here they come. All right. This is a story that we've talked about things similar to this a few times. This one is puzzling as can be to me. There's a, well, stop, would you? There you go. There was a guy in Milwaukee. This is a very, the whole thing is just messed up. This guy in Milwaukee was a maintenance worker at a an apartment complex and a concealed carry holder. And he was carrying while he was at work. How awesome is that? But three teenagers got a hold of him. One of them holding him down. The other two beating him, kicking him with a bat and everything else. And one of them was a girl, 17-year-old girl, Anne Marie Miller. 19-year-old James Bell. They were the two that were doing the beating. The other guy was one that was holding him, and he managed to get to his gun and shot the two that were standing, killed them graveyard dead right there on the scene. And the other guy, they caught him, and he's being charged with some other stuff here. And people... That's very divided. A lot of people are outraged over the idea that the man is now facing possible homicide charges for what is clearly an act of self-defense. Not only was by his own word, but it was all on video. It's all on surveillance video. Others are upset because two teenagers were shot. You know, let me give you a clue. They got them on sale at Walmart right now. I picked up a couple of them on the way up here. I'm going to use one of them up right now. I'm going to give it to y'all. When you don't beat people with baseball bats and you mind your P's and Q's and do what you're supposed to do and all that, you don't get shot. And if you do all that and you get shot, then that's tough poop. You know how much sympathy I have for you? Zero. Nice round number. Okay. I didn't get anything yet.
It says it's pending.
Okay.
Maybe you can read it off of here.
It should have come through. It usually comes through instantly.
Mm-hmm.
I have breaking news. It's not breaking yet.
Pinal County Sheriff's Office. Homeowner shot suspect in Apache Junction.
Oh, really? Maybe I need to bring you up. Let me just read this here. Right here in Arizona, happened, is this today?
It's the first time
here. Yep, March 18th, that would be today. Homeowner shot suspect in Apache Junction. That's down there just east of Phoenix a little ways. Authorities say a homeowner in Apache Junction shot a suspect who was trying to kick in his door Monday night. According to Pinal County Sheriff's Department, it happened about 8:20 at night. 59-year-old homeowner heard the man at his back door, looked at the family security camera, and saw the men wearing hoods and holding guns. Obviously, they were brain surgeons. When they started kicking at the door, the homeowner fired a round through the back door. Guys, still, I am adamantly opposed to shooting through a door. When the door breaks, then you blast the hell out of them. Shooting through a door, I think, is very, very risky business. Not only will you may not be able to see, this guy had a security camera, which made it better, but not only many times are you not able to see who is there and which one you're shooting, you might miss. You're shooting through the door. You can't see them. You're hoping they're going to be in the right spot. And you may send a bullet down the street addressed to whom it may concern. And you may just get the hell sued out of it. We have stand your ground law and we have castle doctrine law. Now, in my eyes, neither one of those covers shooting through a door when you're not in danger. If the door doesn't break, you're not in any danger. If it's a good solid core door and it's holding up and nothing happens, you get on the phone, have a gun in hand, and call 911. If 911 beats you to it and you don't have to shoot them, that's a wonderful thing. Shooting people is messy business. Not only is it messy on the carpets and stuff, but a lot of things happen. Sometimes it, whether or not you get away with it legally, criminally, even if you don't get sued, there's still a lot of issues with this. Health issues can arrive for you. I mean, health issues for him too, but that's too bad. But your health issues, this can be anything from ulcers, digestive tract problems, even mild mental problems, sleep disorders. Now, lots of things can happen. Whether they will to each individual is yet to be seen, but a lot of things can happen. You know, people will look at you differently. Your friends may not, they may be a little leery, a little distrustful of you after this happens. There's a thousand things that can come up here. You shoot people when you have to. If they're on the other side of the door, folks, you don't have to. You may get away with it. I don't care. It's not a matter of whether you get away. It's a matter of whether you really needed to or not. Whether you really need to take a human life. Granted, these guys may have been the lowest life scum in the world. Never know. But that's not for you to decide until they come through the door. When the door breaks, then you let them have it. Let's see. They started kicking the door. He fired around through the back door. Another person in the home fired a shot after seeing a laser pointed at his head from someone outside. Now, there's a little different story there. Suspects also fired rounds from three different caliber handguns into the home. Now, if these guys, now the way this story says, when they started kicking the door, the guy shot. And according to the way I read this story, it was after he shot that they fired rounds from three different handguns into the home. If the rounds had been fired first, that may have been a little bit different. Northwest Heavy, absolutely the same goes for a female home alone. When the door breaks, the thing is, there. When the door breaks, when the door starts to break, when the door is coming in, then there is no question. I was in the middle of a story here where a guy was had homicide charges against him for what was absolutely, clearly a self-defense case. He had shot, let's go back to the other story. Let me mix you up a little bit and have you make you all screwed up here. I said apparently these people were mad. What the maintenance worker was doing is changing locks on an apartment from a resident that had been evicted when these three guys showed up. Apparently they were pissed because it was a friend of theirs that got evicted. And they apparently thought that the maintenance guy was the manager. So they jumped on him and started beating him. Pulled out his legally owned handgun and shot two of the three of them. Jolly good show. And a man at the nearby furniture store went inside, heard the commotion, he heard the screams and da-da-da. Quite a bit more from the story. But anyway, both of them, the remaining suspect and the guy that shot him, were both arrested. On Friday, they were both released. Neither man had been charged at that point. Now, the first guy clearly should have been charged. He was the one that was holding the maintenance worker down while the other ones were beating the hell out of him. And the decision to press charges ultimately lies with the district attorney, but we'll see what happens out of this. And then, of course, Here's the story from the other people. He can't have it yet. He said he wasn't a bad kid. It's just everybody makes bad decisions in their life. Things don't go as planned. Yeah, he had planned to rob, beat somebody up, and got shot for it. That's things didn't go as planned. He said, I wish the outcome would have been better. The other person said, the young man was my nephew's son. And she was his baby's mother. I heard so many sides of it, I'm not sure what to believe at this point. But they're talking about the woman that got killed, the woman, the 17-year-old girl. 17-year-old girl beating this guy, 39 years old, beating him with a baseball bat. She has two babies, and it's just she won't be there now. We will help support those children. I lost a family member, and that's all my concern is right now, he said. Let me be a little bit cold here. If that's the type of person that was raising those babies, then I, as far as I'm concerned, it's a damn good thing she's gone. Possibly the babies now will get another chance to be raised by somebody that's not a poop head. It's not what I wanted to say, but somehow loses something in the translation. Well, authorities aren't commenting on either charges, possible defense. This is what possible hell. I mean, I don't even understand why this isn't even an issue. So let's go back to the other one. Back and forth. The suspects ran from the scene. This is after they fired rounds from three different caliber handguns in the home. Suspects ran from the scene and was found injured in a neighbor's yard. The others kept running. One of them was injured. Deputies arrived, spoke with the four residents. The guy was treated for non-life-threatening gunshot wounds to the upper part of both legs. One of them was found with 2 grams of crystal meth in his pocket. He said they had owed a large sum of money to one of the people in the home. According to Gaffney, he admitted he went to the home with two others to collect the money. So don't get into those kind of situations and owe that kind of money, and you won't have to go through all this. Here you go. But, okay, as we find out, a meth head probably deserved everything he got, probably deserved to be shot and killed. You want to get right down to it. That doesn't change the fact that for your own... See, people think about, well, can I get away with it in civil court? Can I get away with it in criminal court? But think about what your lifestyle is going to be. Think about what your friends are going to, how they're going to look at you and think about you and your family and your job and all the other things that go with it. Killing people is not just something that you just up and do and, well, okay, I think I can get away with it. I read in a paper where a new law has been passed that says I'm not going to be held responsible if my shooting is found justified. So I think if they're beating on the door on the other side, that would probably justify it. It doesn't end when that guy hits the ground. It doesn't end when the smoke clears and the brass lands on the tile floor and all that. That is just starting right then. And Doc, on a good shoot, your friends should be supportive of you. Your real friends almost certainly will. But some of the people you play cards with, you go to the meetings and stuff with, you call them friends, call them acquaintances, whatever. There's no may about it. Lots of them will look at you differently. Now, obviously, your real good friends that know you and know how you do things, nothing will change for them. They may even become more loyal and more of a friend after something like that. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, the 100 other people that you know that you've been friendly with now have given you the cold shoulder, and it still makes your life a little bit harder to live. And if it's a good shoot, then you don't worry about that stuff. But when somebody's breaking the door down, if it hasn't broken in yet, still a lot of things can happen. Did you just... Oh, Amy just sent me something. Still a lot of things can happen. You know, maybe a cop will drive up about that. Maybe a friend will drive up about that time. Maybe 1,000 other things will happen, and maybe these people will quit and go away. But to shoot through that door eliminates those possibilities and brings it all right to you when you may not want it right then. if depending on what state you're in, you may want to wait longer than that. It depends on the, you know, you just have to kind of depend on your skill level and your confidence and all of that. But shooting through doors, I think, is bad business. And sitting here and just muttering along and not getting anywhere after break time is bad business too. So we're going to put together another little deal here and be back right after this.
That's what I said. James is darn good, but he's better, and I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
Somewhere in a distant land, so many miles away.
songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, we're back. I suppose the the folks, family at family and friends, I guess, of the founder of Westboro Baptist Church have asked that we not picket protest his funeral. I guess he's about to die. And they've asked that we not protest there. Number one, how dare them even have, what do you expect? But the other thing is, this is kind of how my mind works. On the first, the first thing that comes to mind is we should. We shouldn't. But to go up there and say, good riddance, glad it happened, God hates people like you and all that. Well, that's not true, and it's not very Christian-like. And I think the best thing that we could do, the best thing, I would like some veterans groups and some motorcycle groups to go up there to this funeral and to offer your condolences and, just be nice about it. Kill them with kindness. Shame the hell out of them, which may not be the most Christian thing to do either, but, I gotta start somewhere. So that's, I think that would be a good thing to do, but I imagine... I don't know what I would imagine. I'm anxious to see what happens with this. And what I'm hoping is that people will take somewhat of a Christian attitude towards this and go and do just the opposite of what they have always done to veterans and homosexuals and numerous other groups of people. Speaking of groups of people, I'm looking in the chat room. There's somebody here called Potent M1. And I don't know if I've seen Potent M1 before. If I have and I haven't recognized that, I'm sorry. But welcome to the shooting bench. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 anonymous in here. And I don't know where y'all come from either. But I'm glad you dropped in. Welcome to the shooting bench. All right, let's move on here. We've got... Got a couple other things here. Remember the guy that was texting in the theater here a while back? The guy dropped him with one shot from his trusty 380. Several lessons to be learned there. But here's another guy, and this is also in Texas. The last one was in Texas also. These guys were arguing with two other people that were in the movie about the ending of the movie. And he was hit with a truck driven by the guys he was arguing with. He hit with a truck and killed. Said the man, why would you argue about something to a point that you have to feel the need to kill somebody over a frickin' movie? Jeez. The men's discussion of the film grew more heated as the three left the theater and went to the parking lot after the late Sunday evening film. Two of the men then jumped into a pickup truck. Driver of the truck put the vehicle in reverse, striking the victim, knocking him into the ground. Then the truck sped away. The victim later died at the hospital. Unbelievable. The office would not name the film, but witnesses told the TV station here that it was 300, Rise of an Empire. Mullen Lobby. Oh, well. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with guns, doesn't have anything to do with killing people. But this is a very, very aggravating story. In North Carolina, I don't know if I can even finish this story without going through the roof here. Y'all better sit down, put down any sharp objects you might have, and get the load off your feet for a minute. North Carolina school has banned a boy, not all boys, not all children. They have banned a boy, 9 years old, from bringing his backpack to school, calling it a trigger for bullying. You know what's on his backpack? My Little Pony. 9 years old, My Little Pony backpack. They told him he better leave it at home. The kid says they're taking it a little too far with punching me, pushing me down, calling me horrible names, stuff that really shouldn't happen. But rather than get on the bullies for doing it, they're telling the boy to leave his bag at home. He said, if you leave your bag at home, you wouldn't look like a sissy and people wouldn't pick on you. Well, how about you get up and whip the hell out of the bullies and they wouldn't pick on you anymore either? Why don't the school suspend the bullies? That's like saying, if you wouldn't carry all that money on you, people wouldn't steal it. If you wouldn't drive that nice a car, people wouldn't come up and try to key it, scratch it, splash mud on it because yours is nicer than theirs. If you wouldn't have your hair done that way, if you wouldn't wear that color of shirt, if you wouldn't walk that way, if you didn't talk that way, if you didn't wear glasses, if you didn't have a prosthetic leg, why don't we pick on the bullies? Why don't we get the bullies in trouble? Now, granted, 9-year-old boy, My Little Pony backpack, I'm not sure that I wouldn't let my 9-year-old boy carry that. But if he chose to and bullies picked on him, then I would expect something to happen to the bullies, not my son or my daughter or anybody else's son. They said the lunchbox is a trigger for bullying. It's like saying a short skirt is a trigger for rape. Flawed logic. Doesn't make any sense. More than 16,000 people have liked a Facebook page called Support for Grayson. Even Glenn Beck's even charged out there to save the day. And a statement from the school board said an initial step was taken to immediately address a situation that had created a disruption in the classroom. County Schools takes bullying very seriously. We will continue to take steps to resolve this issue. Well, one of the steps you should take is to let the little boy carry his lunch bag if that's what he wants to carry. And Doc carries his little pony lunch bag, and he's secure in his manhood. He's okay with that. Carrying AK magazines in your My Little Pony lunch bag. BB Burner, let's don't go there, okay? Anyway, wow. Hopper, I don't know why. Is anybody else's sound breaking up? Hopper seems to be the only one having trouble. Hopper, we did talk to about that guy that spent 13 days in jail because a little pocket knife was found. The guy was 18 years old. And he had a little pocket knife in his EMT stuff, the little pocket knives for cutting seat belts loose and stuff like that. And he was expelled from school, spent 13 days in jail, and may be charged with a felony for doing it. Amy talked about that on her show yesterday. Unbelievable. So many things right now. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that they would take somebody's kid's lunchbox away or ban them from carrying a lunchbox. Unbelievable that a man would be charged with homicide for something that was videotaped and it was clearly self-defense. So many unbelievable things right now. Well, let me go. Is that fan working? Let's see. Let me go find another deal here. I know I've got several more to do. I've also got several things to do. Now, here is a story. I love it when a plan comes together. Story of another teenager who didn't take any crap. And when, hang on just a second, let me see if I can get this cotton picking thing to work here. There we go. And found out that I guess it's, as the story says, it's interesting how looking down the barrel of a 20-gauge shotgun can help a man reacquaint himself with civility. 13-year-old boy had to point his shotgun at a man to get him to stop choking his mother. See, this is how you handle things. He didn't take his lunchbox away. You get your 20-gauge out and say, hey, now what's he supposed to do? Mom, you shouldn't have told him not to be drinking. You shouldn't have told him not to come in so late. You shouldn't have told him that he smells like perfume that's not yours. You shouldn't have told him to get out of the house. That's why he's choking you. So I can't help it. No, the 13-year-old boy has more sense than the people at the school, and he got the damn shotgun out, and he's going to blow his head off is what he's going to do. And that stops bullying. I mean, that stops it right there. You don't have to worry about it no more. 34 years old, said he was charged with a misdemeanor count of simple assault, criminal mischief, and get this one. Explain this one to me. Theft by unlawful taking. As opposed to theft by lawful taking, I guess. And 3 misdemeanor counts of recklessly endangering another person for his alleged actions. Okay. But this kid, you know, bless his heart, I'm sure it was a tough decision for him. It's not anything that someone with training and raised properly is going to take lightly. But if he was raised properly and everything, then he knew what he had to do and took care of business. He had the tools at hand to take care of it. He knew what to do and did it. And I think it's awesome. And this is one of those many, 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 many cases around the country every single year. Professor, what's his name, Gary Kleck, says that something like this happens over 2.5 million times a year, where a firearm is simply displayed without being fired, just pointed out, whoa, okay, I get it. I'm gone. I'm sorry. I got the wrong house. Please forgive me. Have a nice day. I'm out of here. I'm gone. Yeah, without even firing a shot. I've experienced a couple of those myself over the years, and it's a good thing. let's see. This Doc says this is the shooting bench. While you're here, you don't refresh, you reload.
That's right.
It's Kilo said, yeah, refresh is kind of gay. Yeah, you reload. That's right. Okay. Let me see if I've got another one here. We've got Scott and Pick and Many Things. We're out in the middle of nowhere here. And Jason and I, we are going to be kind of on our own out here for a little while at Shots Ranch. And, yeah, we consider this to be a good thing, that we're going to be left to do our thing. What we were doing here, we're trying to get some other things. We got a new classroom out here. And, of course, the other classroom, we're actually sitting in it right now. And it's pretty nice. It's a great place to give classes and seminars. But the other one is very cool. And it seats about, if you set them theater style, you could probably seat close to 40 people in there or so. Classroom style, you know, with tables and everything, you can seat 25 pretty easily, pretty comfortably, and still have room for, you know, table for the coffee pot and all that kind of stuff. But we decided we got it all finished up. That's what we've been working on for the last 2 or 3 weeks here, is trying to get all this done. And now Jason and I have decided, well, we're going to go ahead and push the envelope here a little bit and go ahead and get some paint on that concrete floor out there. We were going to do it later. And I said, you know what? We're going to have to get in here and take everything out, clean it, mop it, get everything squared away again, make sure it's dry. And it's brand new right now. We got everything done. Why don't we just do it now? So we're kind of pushing our time limit here to do everything that we need to do. But that's what we're doing tomorrow, is getting that done. And the thing about the other classroom as opposed to this one is you walk out the back door of that classroom and you are at the 25-yard line of a 25-yard pistol range right there, handgun range. So you just walk out the back door and shoot. It's awesome. And you walk over about 25 yards the other direction, east, out of this classroom, and you're under a covered firing line that's 100 feet long. And there's you can shoot at the 100-yard range, 200-yard range, 300-yard range. And there's a little small, what we call multi-purpose ranges at 25, 50, 75, and 125 yards, I think, something like that. And so there's, when you count those little ranges all together, there's something like 36 ranges here on Shots Ranch. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 long-range rifle ranges, if you call 500 yards long range, 500, 650, 1,000, and almost 2,200 yards. And that's not counting the 1, 2, and 300-yard ranges, not counting there's a place over here north of us where there are 8 pistol ranges side by side. There's a combat range. There is a 5-stand shotgun range. There's what else is there? I don't know. There's bunches of ranges here. Got lots of things, lots of fun, lots of things to play with here. And we've got class coming up. We've got a listener coming out from Illinois for this class. Casper Mountain's looking to come out here at the end of the month. Hopefully this is all going to work out for him. We'd love to see Casper Mountain again. Casper Mountain has come out a couple of times and taken classes with us. And he's set to do it again if this class materializes. And what that is another combat medic class with Edge of the Woods, Chuck Hudson. Awesome class. Hopefully we'll get a couple more people in that and make it where we can justify holding it. So, anyway. All right. Well, it is break time again, so let's take a short break. We'll come back here and finish this up. And hang on a minute. I wasn't prepared to take a short break. What I had planned to do is just cut the whole thing off a little early and get some other stuff done. But you know how it works.
I'll be back.
Well, I didn't get dressed up for nothing.
What do you want, Jennifer? How can I help you? What do you want, Jennifer? How can I help you? What do you want, Jennifer? How can I help you?
Yeah, I noticed that the defendant, Town of Portside, Alex Taft, Jeffrey Gilbert, and Albert Johnson were ordered to a hearing on... I was reading on the internet that there's a group, it's very entertaining sometimes on the internet, but there's a group planning to come into Portside, I believe it's either August 25th or 27th, and their business to occupy Portside. Now, I've heard that they are meeting at the town park, and I'm just wondering how you might feel about fighters coming in and trying to occupy Portside.
What I call this is nothing. What has taken place here, and I have talked to the FBI, I have talked to the Attorney General about it. I talked to everybody that will listen, and I certainly, with what has taken place over here over the course of the last few weeks, I certainly consider it to be domestic terror.
Just keep on. You go ahead. Yeah, go ahead with your bad self. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm bad. I need some wine.
So their efforts were basically to shut down the government of Portside. That is the message, and that is the message that I'm sending to the people who listen.
Wasn't that when you declared that an emergency exists open-ended? Doesn't that create fear in the community?
You know, hopefully they're a peaceful group. You know, hopefully they're a peaceful group. But I will tell you this, and... you know, that a lot of these people that participate in this, by reading the comments, there are people who advocate violence.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
You tell them I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me, you hear? Jason's coming with me!
Another one busts the dust, another one busts the dust, ow! Another one busts the dust, hey, hey! Another one busts the dust, hey!
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, we're back. We just got a couple of little things here. We're going to wrap this up a little bit early. We just got it. This, apparently, some new DHS rules here. The Border Patrol, unbelievable. The new order from the Obama Department of Homeland Security. this tops it all. This requires Border Patrol agents, and this is not coming from some satire site or something. This is coming from theexaminer.com. Border Patrol agents be given, really, pellet guns and tasers to protect this country's borders. Their goal, they say, is to prevent tens of thousands of illegals from crossing into America monthly with these not so very much deadly weapons. Just recently, the same DHS department promoted another high security idea. It told agents, when you see illegals throwing rocks the size of basketballs, run away. Run away. Don't shoot them. And I guess you can shoot them with your new BB gun. Security at the border has now become a standing joke among the illegals who swim, run, and illegally jump over the border's fences. You know, that's why Mexico doesn't have any participants in the Olympics, right? Everybody that swims, runs, and jumps is already in America. Unfortunately, this disarming of America's safety only gets the better for the illegal criminals to make border protection a standing joke. So, here's a quote from the chief of the Border Patrol signed the rules, which he says, so what does a border agent do? If a mass of illegal aliens come across the border, the agents cannot confront them if they have rocks in their hands. The agents cannot stand from a safe distance to discharge their weapons to protect themselves. Border Patrol Chief Fisher is perfectly crystal clear about this, saying agents shall not discharge firearms in response to thrown or hurled projectiles. Agents should obtain a tactical advantage in these situations, such as seeking cover or distancing themselves, which means run away. Now, the security agency, DHS, let's see, the new deadly weapons of choice, if Obama regulations allowed to get them to get close enough, pellet guns and tasers have been ordered, for use by agents so that these dastardly illegals and drug cartel smugglers can be immobilized. BB guns, pellet guns, and tasers. Unbelievable. All right. I do have another a sad story for you here. Amy is not going to be on in the morning. Amy has put in some long days and hard nights here. She's had grandkids for the last 2 or 3 days that she's had to keep track of, and it's been very trying for her, and she's going to need a day to rest up a little bit. So hopefully y'all will forgive her. She's not going to be on in the morning. I'm not going to be on in the morning because I have work to do. I have to get my get the classroom all squared away and all that. So, wait a minute. Jason sent me something else. We got one more thing we're going to have to do here. I don't like the looks of this. I think this is going to make me think I'm not going to like this at all. Stand by just a second. Get this up. This comes from White House pastry chef resigns. I don't want to do now. This has got to be satire. Is this a satire site, Jason?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Says White House pastry chef resigns. I don't want to demonize cream, butter, sugar, and eggs. White House executive pastry chef Bill Yosis is resigning after First Lady Michelle Obama fundamentally changed his job duties to focus on healthier food. He is leaving the White House in June to work on a new project focusing on food literacy, and the New York Times says Michelle is partly to blame. The openly homo chef was hired by Laura Bush in 2007. To make his trademark cookie plates and sugar sculptures. Mrs. Obama took over in 2009, ordered him to make healthier plates in smaller portions. She's one to be talking. He began replacing butter with fruit puree and sugar with honey and something else here. But he was never fully committed to the new policy. He says, I don't want to demonize cream, butter, sugar, and eggs. Michelle Obama said she is incredibly sad to see him go. I'm also so grateful to him for his outstanding work, not just as a White House pastry chef, producing the most delectable creations for everything from birthday celebrations to state visits, but also a key partner helping us get the White House kitchen garden off the ground. I think gardens were supposed to be on the ground. And building a healthier future for our next generation. Well, there you have it. All right, well, whatever. Not very exciting. Too much stupid stuff going on. But I think what I'm going to do is head on out of here and get ready to go fix my classroom up in the morning. Got a lot of stuff to do to get ready for a 3-day handgun class this weekend. We've got, I think at least three people coming from Sholo. We got one coming from Vegas. We got one coming from Illinois. And I think it ought to be a good class. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're going to sign up, you got 2 days to do it. You got 4 openings left in this class right now. So if you can make it, great. If you can't, maybe next time. All right, I'm out of here, guys. I got to get ready. Talk to y'all tomorrow night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.